5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Howdy, Croc Nation. Dr. Tom Ianelli here with you with another great, amazing Croc podcast. I say that not because I'm conceited. I say that because I am doing it for the greatest people in the world, our Croc survivors / thrivers. Joining me tonight, as every night and every week, is Angel Santana from Have Faith, Let It Begin. Angel, how are you, my friend?
I am so good, and it's so good to see you back on your feet, my friend. And let me tell you, it has been a roller coaster month for both of us.
I have to tell you, I feel like it's been forever since I've done a podcast, and I do apologize to our courageous survivors / thrivers. Sometimes doctors do get sick, and I was laid up for the last couple of weeks between the holidays and vacation, and then getting a little bit of a cold and not being able to speak. So, Angel, thank you also for your patience, and I hope everybody forgives us. But absolutely, we're back. We had a couple of, old episodes to plug in, and back to work.
Let's go. Back to the grind.
Yeah, so if I was doing a Batman TV show back from the 1960s, we would do a little bit of a rewind and kind of review. And this is going to be aired on what date, Angel?
Tomorrow.
Yep, which would be January 21st. So I feel terrible that we're still talking about New Year's resolutions. This is part two of that module. And we're finally getting it to you on January 21st. But have faith. Let it begin. What's going to happen is we'll use this recording tonight. This will be our New Year's recording. This will be our New Year's podcast for 2025. So even though we're a little behind for 2024, we're way ahead of the game for 2025.
Happy New Year.
Yep. So I'm getting back to point. So for our beautiful, amazing, brave, courageous survivor thrivers, New Year's comes and goes. Everybody is there waiting for the clock to tick, for the ball to drop, and for everybody to embrace and say Happy New Year and sing Auld Lang Syne and all that kind of stuff. But what goes along with that is a expectation, almost like a rite of passage. As the old year passes and the new year comes, we feel forced to put ourselves on the line and put out a whole series of resolutions of things that we're going to do in the following year or the new year that's just come upon us. And I think from the last podcast, which was a old podcast from last year or the year before, maybe not the best idea for our survivor thrivers. So this is the second part of that module. Angel, any thoughts before we get into it?
I've been enjoying it, to be honest with you. I think it's just a great refresher in life. And also in what we do. So it's kind of like an amazing sandwich with all the cravings and all the salami and cheese, you name it.
Yeah. And I think it's really cool for our survivor thrivers who are listeners on a regular basis to hear sort of what we were a couple of years ago and what we are now and kind of see the growth. And we sure appreciate your comments. If you have any input or constructive criticism, we'd love to hear it. Okay, let's go to resolutions. So the reasons resolutions don't really work is because we as humans, the way our creator has wired us, is for whatever reason, we don't have a realistic view of ourselves, either physically or also of our capacities and capabilities. And I know this goes against all of the New Age rhetoric, as far as if we can dream it, we can be it. And a lot of times, even on this podcast, we are a little New Age-ish, not a word, but we make them up as we go along. And we do encourage our survivor thrivers to dream and to envision, and the universe will deliver. And that is true. But we want to make sure that we sort of put the brakes on and make sure we know that we are throwing out a realistic vision for the universe to deliver to us. It's like ordering a Hawaiian pizza from Domino's, but we're ordering the Domino's from Hawaii and not the Domino's from Walden, New York. So we have to make sure we put out a realistic order out to the universe. And Angel, I hope our survivor thrivers, and I'll let you chime in, are not insulted or put down by this, because we don't want our survivor thrivers to feel ever that we're telling them that they're unrealistic or they don't have a real view of themselves. I'm just talking about this as humans in general, just about all of us. I think we all have that sort of view where we may not really be able to know what our limitations are. And I want to let you guys know that you guys are the most important thing to us. You're the reason personally that I wake up in the morning. You're the reason I go to work. When I go to work, I advocate for you all day. I try to the best of my abilities to heal you, to educate you, to befriend you. You guys give me purpose. You give me direction. So please, I hope that when we're talking about resolutions and why they're not that great, or the way we view ourselves, I hope you take it in that spirit. Angel, your thoughts?
I don't think they would be offended, because I think at the end of the day, we have all been here and we've made promises to ourselves, and we've sacrificed things where we have, I don't want to say the word failed, we've just been sidetracked, and it's so easy to get off track. And I think that we are going to be able to put people back on track with these episodes.
Yeah, thank you very much. And as I said, our survivor thrivers are not exempt from this evolutionary flaw. But I want everyone out there that's listening to take heart. I will teach you tonight the lesson that was taught to me many, many years ago by a good friend of mine by the name of Mike McDonald. I call it the lesson of realistic introspection, or simply the lesson of the thrown baseball bat. And I'll explain that to you guys in a second. And I'm going to, believe it or not, I'm going to be able to start with a story and tie it all up with a beautiful survivor bow by the end of the podcast on how this all makes any sense. So, Mike McDonald, I'm dedicating this podcast to you, my friend. Mike is a dear friend of mine from childhood. We went to high school together. Mike married my best friend's sister, so I almost feel like he's a family member. Dear, dear friend, great man, as a matter of fact. And but he was the kind of guy, Angel, that was born to be a coach. I think like he came out of the womb, and I think he already had a megaphone, and he was starting to coach his older brother and sisters. He just is an inspirational man. He's a motivator. When he played ball in high school, he'd be the first to always remind me that he was on the state championship team for Don Bosco Tech in 1970, whatever. And he was the catcher, so he was sort of the captain of the team. He was sort of the coach on the field. And then as soon as he finished his playing days, he became a coach forever. And I'd like to think that Mike continues to bleed coaching in all aspects of his life, and his role as a father and his role as a friend. And I know I view him primarily as a friend, but I also see him as a life coach. And there was an incident that really put everything in perspective in regard to resolutions and realistic views and the way we view each other, or view ourselves, I should say. We both played on a softball team, and certainly I thought I was, like, such a good hitter and such a good softball player, when in reality I was terrible. And I had an extra deficit or handicap of being a very, 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 very slow runner. So if anybody knows baseball, they know that probably the greatest insult that could ever happen is you can get a base hit. You can get a single, hit the ball in the outfield, and then get thrown out at first. And that's exactly what happened to me. And I went to the bench and I was so upset. I was like, oh my God, I was so embarrassed. And I vowed to myself that moving forward, I was going to make a resolution that if I ever got a base hit, I was never going to get beat out at first base again. And so what ended up happening was that got in my head, right? So I, and every time I would, because I was a pretty good hitter, and I'd hit the ball into the outfield, and in my panic, to run to first base, not to get thrown out, I threw the bat. So, like, as soon as I hit the ball, the bat came out of my hands, and where'd the bat go? The bat would, like, cream the catcher. The poor guy who was catching. And I would get the base hit, and I would certainly beat it out, but I'd get called out for, for throwing the bat. So Mike, who was a player, on the softball team, but of course also the coach always, right? Mike is the consummate coach. He pulled me aside one day, and in his warmest, kindest, gentlest, friendliest, most compassionate way, He basically said to me, he said, my nickname was Bean. He said, Bean, no matter how you slice it, you're just slow. You're damn slow. And you ain't ever going to get any faster. So here's the way you're going to play this. You're going to get thrown out at first base every once in a while. That's just the way it is. This is softball. This is not the major leagues. For the sake of God, stop throwing your bat. It's not going to make you any faster, and we don't want to kill the catcher. So I kind of took that to heart, and it's a metaphor, as most of my stories are metaphors of me making a resolution of a physical situation that I basically had no possible way of achieving. And this is, again, to reiterate in a funny way, what we think of ourselves, how we view ourselves, and what our capacities are. So I wanted to thank Mike for that. And now let's tie it all together. Since then, I continue to make the same mistake, even though I know the story and I know the lesson. We kind of fall back into our standard mode of thinking. And I could share with you a million stories about a million resolutions that I couldn't complete. And I didn't really know at that point until Mike pointed it out to me who I actually was. And that feeling of despair is a feeling that we all share when we fall short of our goal. But the good news is we can conquer this. And there's a couple of steps, and then we have a 10-step program, as we and Angel and I always do. We don't just come up with problems, we try to solve them. So let's start with step one. Step one, as Mike taught us, view yourself in four dimensions, not in two dimensions. So most of our resolutions, as we saw on the podcast that we did, the first part of this podcast, most resolutions start with something physical. You know, I'm going to lose 20 pounds in 2024, or I'm not going to eat meat, or I'm not going to smoke, I'm not going to drink, I'm going to we'll go to the gym 3 days a week or something like that. And we're stuck with what we think we look like because we're looking at ourselves always in a mirror. A mirror is two-dimensional. A mirror is not three-dimensional. And we have to recognize that we have to start looking at ourselves globally, not just in a two-dimensional way. Number two is that we have to look at the fourth dimension, and the fourth dimension is the dimension of time. And I think as we age, and you know, Angel, me more than you, you know, as we're getting, as I'm getting into my, you know, meddling into my mid-60s, you know, even I'm noticing, as slow as Mike said I was, I'm actually getting slower. And as time goes on, you know, we have to realize what our limitations are, secondary to age changes. So this is easily managed. Step one is very easily managed by metrics. So if you're interested in what you look like physically, which we really here at the podcast urge you not to, but if that's something that's of interest to you, then use a scale. Get on a scale once a week, twice a week, see where you are. If you think you weigh a certain amount, I can guarantee you weigh 10 or 15 pounds more than that weight that you think you are. If you think that you're running a 12-minute mile, take a stopwatch. You're probably running a 14-minute mile. If you think you're running an 8-minute mile, you're probably running a 12-minute mile. If you think you're, you know, deadlifting 400 pounds, you're probably deadlifting 250 pounds. So basically, and in the medical world, you know, get your blood work, see what you look like, what's your hemoglobin, what's your hematocrit, you know, what are your lipids, what's your thyroid function testing, what's your liver functions, you know, what's your glucose. You know, you can check yourself out that way. So view yourself in four dimensions, not in three dimensions. There's a new application that people put on their wrist. I have one. It's called the Whoop. Basically, it gives you everything you want to know about how many hours of sleep and REM and all that kind of stuff. Whoop up your life if you really want to know what you look like and you want to have a realistic view of yourself. Step two, add a fifth dimension. And this is the dimension for our survivor slash thrivers. And I really don't mean the musical group, the five dimension, the fifth dimension. I mean this in a survivor slash thriver way. So the fifth dimension comprises something that we as non-cancer survivors don't have to deal with. You guys have to deal with fear. You have to deal with your toxic treatments. You have to deal with the short and long-term side effects. You have to deal with the change in your functionality and the change in your appearance. You have to also deal with the way people view you and the way people treat you. And did I mention fear, right? So you have all those things that is added to this self-view that you have, that when you're starting to put a resolution together, you're not really able to put a true resolution together because you really don't know where you are on the map. So hopefully this podcast will put you, you know, be that map at the zoo. You are here, you know, where are the monkeys? Okay, well, you're here by the elephants. The monkeys are over to the right, right? So that's what we're trying to do here. Now, take that first dimension, second dimension, third dimension, fourth dimension, and fifth dimension, and add in the pressure of a new year and everyone seeing an opportunity for a new start, like that, this blank slate, right? The famous blank slate. We know you guys want to be your old self. You guys want to go up to the days before you had cancer. You want to go back to those times so bad you could taste it. So you get caught up in the moment, the holiday, the momentum of the crowd, and you do all the worst things you can possibly do. You make an unwinnable, destined to fail resolution, and that's what we're going to protect you against tonight. So the first thing we're going to recommend you do is to deconstruct the calendar. In my office, I have three calendars. I have the huge master calendar. Then I have two accessory calendars. But let's think about what a calendar is. We live our lives by these 12 months, these 28 to 31 days per month, daily intervals. We live almost like a second nature. We live by four seasons. If you're living in the Northeast with me and Angel, and we could attest to that because there's a bunch of white stuff on the grass that we have to shovel on a daily basis these days. We have four solstices, but we also have to realize that the beginning and end of a year is only historical and it's very arbitrary. We love so much, we love this calendar, but we need to take a step back. The amount of momentum we lose and the holes we dig ourselves into by saying things like, okay, and again, I'm always going to use the food analogy because I'm a foodie, but okay, we're taking care of ourselves, we're eating the right stuff, we're working out, and then Thanksgiving comes. And it's like, oh, you know what, F it, it's Thanksgiving, you know, what the heck. And then you go to the office and it's December 1st and all the cookies start coming in and then all of the candy start coming in and it's like, ah, oh, you know what, F it, it's Christmas. And you stop going to the gym and it's cold and it's dark. And before you know it, you know, you hit New Year's and it's like, it's almost as if you have a dead battery. You know, you lose so much momentum that it's almost True. Like you're not going into the new year with anything other than you just have dug yourself in a huge hole. So the reckless abandon, the white flag we put up because of this arbitrariness of the calendar, sets us back substantially. You know, slow and steady is always what wins the race and keeps ourselves out of the spiral. And that's why if I had a coat of arms, it would be with my spirit animal would be a turtle. You know, it wouldn't be a lion or it wouldn't be a dragon or it wouldn't be like a cool animal. It would be like a turtle because that's really the way to go in. So please deconstruct your calendar. That's the first thing. And then Angel and I, we're not cancer survivors, at least not that we know of. And I know it seems disingenuous for us to always try to be giving you guys advice. And I don't like to think of it as advice, but more just, you know, friends sharing, you know, thoughts to help you guys through your survivorship. But I will say this, I've been doing this a long time and that I know you've been branded from the minute you've been branded with the word and the disease of cancer. Everyone suddenly knows exactly, you know, who you are, and they've become cancer experts and they've become experts on you and they have expectations of you. And you know what? They want to tell you how to manage your life. And you're like, you know what? Back off. I got this. I can make my resolutions myself. But I can say confidently the following. You have enough pressure on your head. You have enough going on between your diagnosis, your treatments, your fears, your anxieties, your side effects, your loss of functionality. And I know these resolutions are important to you. And the self-deception is something that will be just an unhealthy thing that will propagate itself and not serve you well in your survivorship. So what I've come up with is what I call the 10 unresolutions for you guys to dig into for the beginning of each year. So, Angel, you ready? We're going to do 10.
I got paper and pen.
There you go. Number one, I resolve to extinguish any need to make any further resolutions. So the first thing we're going to resolve to do is stop making resolutions. So that's number one. Number two, I resolve to deconstruct the arbitrary nature of the traditional calendar, where it's a 12-month sprint to self-annihilation with circumstantial ceremonies and traditions, all aimed to make us all feel bad. Every day is Christmas, every day is New Year's, every day is Kwanzaa, every day is Diwali, and every day is Thanksgiving. We don't need to have a calendar day tell us that. Number three, I resolve to not aim at any specific goal, such as weight loss, stop eating meat, stop drinking, stop smoking, but rather will try my best to every day make the best choices and decisions and develop habits for my best health today, tomorrow, and forever. It's a lifestyle. It is not a resolution. Number four, I resolve not to try to change myself or look at myself unrealistically, or not accept the changes cancer or cancer treatments did to me, and to not look at myself with deception, but rather when I do look at myself from either the outside or the inside, I will see myself exactly as I am. I am perfect. You survivors slash thrivers are perfect. You are made in our creator's image. You are perfect. Number five, I resolve to give up trying to control things that are not in my control. Instead, I want us all to concentrate on the things that we can control and to create our best selves and control and command a safe environment to live our best lives. Number six, I resolve to try to rid myself of desire, as desire breeds discontent and chaos. Rather, I want us to just be. Let the universe unfold in front of us. The universe is rich and plentiful with enough treasures to go around for all of us. If we wish, and I don't hold, it up to worship, we want to make sure we recognize the limitations of materialism. But if we do wish for something, we want to envision it, and it will appear if it is just and meant to be, as long as our wishes are realistic, healthy, and self-expansive. Number seven, I resolve to try to eliminate reactivity from my life. I choose love and kindness over anger and grudges. Reactivity is the kindling wood for a burning soul that can never find peace. Number eight, I resolve to practice gratitude, not on a day-to-day basis, not on a minute-to-minute basis, but on a breath-by-breath basis. Gratitude is the singular most important survival tool for the survivor slash thriver to manage each day, each of the unique challenges and obstacles that you guys face. Number nine, I resolve to move forward always, never ever looking back in my survivorship. And we never use the words or the sentences, what ifs, who done it, why me? These are all questions about what has happened in the past. You guys are all about forward motion, always ready for new opportunities and moments to enjoy beauty and grandeur that will be missed if our beings are looking over our shoulders. And finally, number 10, I resolve to continually speak to, listen to, pray to, learn about whatever you consider to be your greater power, your creator, your purpose. Why are you here will be revealed to you every day, becoming clearer and clearer into the day we have the privilege to merge with said creator. Angel Santana, your thoughts on today's podcast?
I am 1 through 10.
Beautiful. You're 10 for 10. If you were on my
I wrote
baseball
them all
team,
down.
If you were on my softball team, you'd be batting 1,000.
I'm telling you, I think that I think these are 10. If we could put them all on a t-shirt, man, this would be great.
Totally.
Definitely. There's really nothing more I can comment on except for, as a person, I relate to everyone, every single one of them. So this is going to go on my dashboard.
Awesome. Awesome. Angel, again, thank you very much for being so patient. And to all of our Survivor Thrivers, I just want to thank you guys for your patience. I know that the podcast has been a little hit or miss in January due to extenuating circumstances. Hopefully this resolution module, this duet of these two podcasts put together will make sense to you. Dedicate it to Mike McDonald. Mikey, thanks for the lesson. And I guess you're right. I never did cross the plane. To our cancer survivors / thrivers, I want to take a moment and tell you guys how important and awesome you are. I know I spent an entire podcast telling you guys not to be unrealistic and not to view yourself, incorrectly or unrealistically. But I have to tell you, from our point of view, from the Croc organization, you guys are pretty damn perfect. You guys are pretty damn special. We know what you're going through is very, very hard. We know that your treatments, the diagnosis, the fears, the anxieties, the way you have to interact with people, the way your body feels, the way your mind feels, it's a struggle every day. It's our hope that this podcast gives you small bits and crumbs of nourishment to get through your survivorship. On behalf of the board of directors, who I thank graciously for their time and their efforts, as well as their expertise, I want to end this podcast as I end every podcast, and that's with a wish and with a prayer. And that wish and prayer is to make sure that you guys know we want you to really, really feel that you will have a long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. God bless you. God be with you. Peace.